Good afternoon. Welcome to Oremus Communication Internet Radio. This is Coraline de Tagle,
Bebs Martinez,
Winnie Thompson,
and Emily Osman
from the Legion of Mary, Wilmington, Delaware, Korea, United States of America. We're broadcasting from St. Mary of the Assumption Catholic Church in Hocassin, Delaware. Today is July 19, 2019. Tuesday, July 16, was the Feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. Yesterday, the 18th, was the Feast of St. Camillus de Lellis. After we pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet, we will tell you the story of Our Lady of Mount Carmel and the history of the Brown Scapular, then talk about the life of St. Camillus and do a reflection on today's Gospel.
We'll now pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet.
Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. A fount of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
for the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
The story of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. Hermits lived on Mount Carmel near the Fountain of Elijah in northern Israel in the 12th century. They had a chapel dedicated to Our Lady. By the 13th century, they became known as Brothers of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. They soon celebrated a special mass and office in honor of Mary. In 1726, it became a celebration of the Universal Church under the title of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. For centuries, the Carmelites have seen themselves as specially related to Mary. Their great saints and theologians have promoted devotion to her and often championed the mystery of her Immaculate Conception. Saint Teresa of Avila called Carmel the Order of the Virgin. Saint John of the Cross credited Mary with saving him from drowning as a child, leading him to Carmel, and helping him escape from prison. Saint Therese of the Child Jesus believed that Mary cured her from illness. On her first communion day, Therese dedicated her life to Mary. During the last days of her life, she frequently spoke of Mary. There is a tradition, which may not be historical, that Mary appeared to Saint Simon Stock, a leader of the Carmelites, and gave him a scapular, telling him to promote devotion to it. The scapular is a modified version of Mary's own garment. It symbolizes her special protection and calls the wearers to consecrate themselves to her in a special way. The scapular reminds us of the gospel call to prayer and penance, a call that Mary models in a splendid way. Reflection. The Carmelites were known as early as the Brothers of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. The title suggests that they saw Mary not as a mother, but also as a sister. The word sister is a reminder that Mary is very close to us. She's the daughter of God and therefore can help us to be authentic daughters and sons of God. She can also help us grow in appreciation of being sisters and brothers to one another. She leads us to a new realization that all human beings belong to the family of God. When such a conviction grows, there is hope that the human race can find its way to peace. Mary, under the title of Lady of Mount Carmel, is the patron saint of Chile.
Our Lady of Mount Carmel Scapular. The brown scapular is a sacramental sign of special devotion to Our Lady. What is a scapular? The word scapular is derived from the Latin word scapula, or shoulder blade. The scapular originated hundreds of years ago as two large pieces of cloth attached to the shoulders by narrow strips, which covered the front and back of a monk's habit. It was originally worn for the practical purpose of preserving the habit from dirt and wear, eventually becoming part of the habit itself. Lay people who wanted to associate themselves with a particular religious order or a particular devotion belonging to one
would wear a miniature version of the scapular as a sacramental of the church. There are now more than a dozen types of scapulars approved by the church: brown scapulars, white scapulars, green scapulars, and many others, each associated with a different devotion to Our Lady, Our Lord, a saint, a religious order, etc., and worn as a sign of special consecration to that devotion. The original and still the most popular scapular is the brown scapular of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. History of the brown scapular. According to tradition, in the year 1251, a Carmelite superior general living in Cambridge, England, Saint Simon Stock, was praying for heavenly intercession for his order, as the Carmelites were facing trials and oppression at that time. On July 16, 1251, he received a visit from Our Lady in answer to his prayers. She handed him a brown scapular, saying, "Receive, my beloved son, this scapular of thy order. It is the special sign of my favor, which I have obtained for thee and for thy children of Mount Carmel. He who dies clothed with this habit shall be preserved from eternal fire. It is the badge of salvation, a shield in time of danger, and a pledge of special peace and protection." This apparition of the Blessed Virgin Mary is known as Our Lady of Mount Carmel because of her great promises to those who wear the brown scapular. The scapular spread to the laity as a sign of Marian devotion and consecration, signified by two small square pieces of brown wool cloth connected by cords, with one square resting on the chest and one on the back. Since then, the brown scapular has been recognized as a source of great graces for those who, living holy lives, wear the brown scapular with devotion during life and at the time of death. Fun fact: it is believed that Saint Simon was dubbed Simon Stock after having lived as a hermit in a hollow tree trunk, in Old English a stock, before joining the Carmelites. Wearing the brown scapular. Because the scapular is a sign of faith and devotion, it should be accompanied by the effort to live a life of faith and devotion in cooperation with the grace of God. To receive the benefits of the scapular, the wearer should have the scapular blessed and be enrolled in the confraternity of the brown scapular. Members of the confraternity should devoutly wear the brown scapular as a visible sign of devotion to Our Lady, with a commitment to regular prayer, frequent reception of Holy Communion, and daily recitation of one of the hours of the divine office, such as morning prayer, evening prayer, or night prayer, or the Psalms, or the Rosary, or other equivalent devotional prayers. For more information, read a catechesis on the brown scapular prepared by the Carmelites in celebration of the 750th anniversary of the brown scapular. For those who may think that the story of Our Lady making a promise that those who wear the brown scapular will be saved from eternal damnation is a pious legend without truth, it is important to point out that at Fatima,
an approved modern Marian apparition witnessed by tens of thousands of people, Our Lady appeared to Lucia, Francisco, and Jacinta as Our Lady of the Rosary, while holding a rosary, and next as Our Lady of Mount Carmel, while holding a scapular. Both praying the rosary and wearing the scapular daily are requests of Our Lady and signs of consecration to her. She always comes to the aid of those who entrust themselves to her maternal intercession and protection. Because all the forms of our love for the Blessed Virgin and all its various modes of expression cannot be equally pleasing to her, and therefore do not assist us in the same degree to reach heaven, I say, without a moment's hesitation, that the brown scapular is the most favored of all. No devotion has been confirmed by more numerous authentic miracles than the brown scapular. This is according to Saint Claude de la Colombier.
Is the brown scapular some sort of lucky charm that superstitious Catholics like to wear? At first glance, the promises of the Blessed Virgin to St. Simon's Dock appear to confirm suspicions. Our Lady's famous words were, "Take, beloved son, this scapular of thy order as a pledge of my confraternity, and for thee and all Carmelites, a special sign of grace. Whoever dies in this garment will not suffer everlasting fire. It is the sign of salvation, a safeguard in dangers, a pledge of peace and of the covenant." So based on this account, will wearing the brown scapular secure a place in heaven? First of all, let us remember what we should have learned in religion class. The brown scapular is characterized as a sacramental in the Catholic Church, and the work and works much differently than a lucky charm. The Catechism explains, "Sacramentals do not confer the grace of the Holy Spirit in the way that the sacraments do, but by the Church's prayer, they prepare us to receive grace and dispose us to cooperate with it." What this means is that a sacramental such as the brown scapular can dispose us to the graces God wants to give us, but we must respond to the invitation. Sacramentals are conduits of grace that only work if our end doesn't have a cap on it. Here is a story to illustrate. Saint Claude de Comblier once told a man who tried to drown himself three times. Each time he was rescued against his will. Then he realized he was still wearing a brown scapular underneath his clothing. Determined to end his life, he ripped the scapular from his neck and was successful in the final attempt. God freely gave him the graces he needed and gave him the extra chances to turn to him. But the man remained obstinate in his ways and refused to cooperate. As a result, the Blessed Virgin Mary's promise may have proven true. Whoever dies in this garment will not suffer everlasting fire. Saint John Paul II himself a member of the secular Carmelite order, praised the wearing of the brown scapular, but warned against the superstitious wearing of it. He wrote in his message to the Carmelite community, "Therefore, two truths are evoked by the sign of the scapular. On the one hand, the constant protection of the Blessed Virgin, not only on life's journey, but also at the moment of passing into the fullness of eternal glory. On the other hand, the awareness that devotion to her cannot be limited to prayers and tributes in her honor on certain occasions, but must become a habit, that is, a permanent orientation of one's own Christian conduct woven of prayer and interior life through frequent reception of the sacraments and the concrete practice of the spiritual and corporal works of mercy." According to John Paul II, to secure our place in heaven, we can't simply wear the scapular. To put it more simply, the habit we wear must be based on a habit of prayer. So the next time you put on a brown scapular, open your heart to God's graces and Mary's intercession. She wants to lead you to heaven. But you can't take the back seat and let her do all the work. How a ship was miraculously saved by God through a brown scapular. A fierce storm threatened all on board until a young Irishman held out the brown scapular he was wearing. Jesus says in the Gospels, "If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from hence to yonder place,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you." That's from Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. With this in mind, it is not surprising that throughout history, there have been countless reports of miracles that display the extraordinary intervention of God in response to the mustard seed-sized faith of an individual. One such story is recounted in the booklet, Garment of Grace, which narrates how a ship in the middle of a storm was saved by God through an individual's faith in the power of the brown scapular, a piece of brown cloth that is worn over the neck and is considered a sacramental in the Catholic Church. In 1845, the English ship, King of the Ocean, was on its way to Australia. When the ship reached the Cape of Good Hope off the coast of South Africa, it encountered a deadly storm. It didn't look like they would survive. When many on the ship lost all hope, a young Irishman from the county of Louth, named John McAuliffe, stepped forward onto the deck and unbuttoned his shirt. He took the brown scapular that was around his neck and held it out towards the sea, making the sign of the cross with it. McAuliffe then threw the scapular into the raging waters. Immediately, the wind stopped and the waves calmed down, except for one final wave that tossed the scapular back on deck, bringing it before McAuliffe's feet. The other passengers were stunned, especially a Protestant minister who was on board. He learned from McAuliffe the history and meaning of the brown scapular, and when the ship arrived in Sydney, he and his family went to St. Mary Chapel, now St. Mary's Cathedral, and were all received into the Catholic Church by Bishop Boulding, the Archbishop of Sydney. McAuliffe's Brett possessed that mustard seed type of faith and trusted in God's ability to calm the waves. God responded generously to that display of faith and interceded to save the ship. As Jesus said, with that type of faith, nothing will be impossible to you.
I have a question. We all have our scapulars. Do you wear it around your neck, or is it also possible to do just wear a medal?
No. They suggest you wear the brown
scapular needs to be around your neck.
Yes.
It has to be
I think it's supposed to be a wool cloth, but if you're sold it as a brown scapular, it must be, you know, passable. You don't have to have it blessed anymore after you had the first one.
After you have been invested.
Right.
If you are in the confraternity.
Well, I didn't realize that they do have a confraternity, because when I was just making my first Holy Communion, I received a brown scapular from the sister, you know, they gave each of us a brown scapular, yes. And as I grew up, I wore the scapular most of the time, because I can remember kids laughing when you were swimming, you know, but I never had a problem.
You never took it out?
No, no.
I had one before that was plastic. It wasn't wool. Mm-hmm. But that was when I was
That's because it was covered, hon. I think it was...
It was covered.
Yes, it was a piece of wool
covered
with plastic, more or less.
Oh, okay. But then I got a new one, and then I just had it blessed by Father Dillingham.
Oh, uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And all four of us, the whole family.
Good, yeah. Ideally, if you're invested yourself, you wouldn't, you know, have to.
And to be invested, what do you need to do?
A special
there is
prayer.
Prayers in the book the Father Priest has.
The priest has.
Yes.
It's a special prayer.
See, this one has nothing on it but like that.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, thank you. Thank you for all the information.
God bless you.
Now, let us discuss about St. Camillus de Lillis, who was a founder of the Ministers of the Sick, and whose feast day we celebrated the other day, July 18th. Humanly speaking, Camillus was not a likely candidate for sainthood. His mother died when he was a child, his father neglected him, and he grew up with an excessive love for gambling. At 17, he was afflicted with a disease of his leg that remained with him for life. In Rome, he entered the San Giacomo Hospital for incurables as both patient and servant, but was dismissed for quarrelsomeness after 9 months. He served in the Venetian army for 3 years. Then, in the winter of 1574, when he was 24, Camillus gambled away everything he had, savings, weapons, literally down to his shirt. He accepted work at the Capuchin Friary at Manfredonia, and was one day so moved by a sermon of the superior that he began a conversion that changed his life. He entered the Capuchin novitiate, but was dismissed because of the apparently incurable sore on his leg. After another stint of service at San Giacomo, he came back to the Capuchins, only to be dismissed again for the same reason. Again, back at San Giacomo, His dedication was rewarded by his being made superintendent of the place. Camillus devoted the rest of his life to the care of the sick. Along with St. John of God, he has been named patron of hospitals, nurses, and the sick. With the advice of his friend, St. Philip Neri, he studied for the priesthood and was ordained at the age of 34. Contrary to the advice of his friend, Camillus left San Giacomo and founded a congregation of his own. As superior, he devoted much of his own time to the care of the sick. Charity was his first concern, but the physical aspects of the hospital also received his diligent attention. Camillus insisted on cleanliness and the technical competence of those who serve the sick. The members of his community bound themselves to serve prisoners and persons infected by the plague, as well as those dying in private homes. Some of his men were with troops fighting in Hungary and Croatia in 1595, forming the first recorded military field ambulance. In Naples, he and his men went onto the galleys that had plagued and were not allowed to land. He discovered that there were people being buried alive and ordered his brothers to continue the prayers for the dying 15 minutes after apparent death. Camillus himself suffered the disease of his leg through his life. In his last illness, he left his own bed to see if other patients in the hospital needed help. Reflections. Saints are created by God. Parents must indeed nurture the faith in their children, husbands, and wives. And wives must cooperate to deepen their baptismal grace. Friends must support each other, but all human effort is only the dispensing of human power. We must all try as if everything depended on us, but only the power of God can fulfill the plan of God to make us like himself. Journeying through history as human beings is simply amazing. We explore, discover, learn, enter relationships, sometimes end them, make mistakes, build and break things, hope, laugh, cry. Every day brings endless situations that challenge our humanity, but in turn make us more human. As much excitement as this situation brings, we realize that being human is also grueling, sometimes depending more than what we can possibly give. It is in these precise moments that we realize we cannot do it alone. We thrive more fully when we rely upon fellow sojourners. We need others. We need the friendly hand, the shoulder to cry on, the unassuming presence of someone who tells us, in a sense, I've got you. I am your mother, father, spouse, sister, brother. I've got you. I am your friend, colleague, neighbor, mentor, I've got you. The words are humbling, more so when we know that this is what God offers to us with merciful love. I am, I've got you. As the people of Israel discerned how to confront their difficult situation in Egypt, God told them through Moses, I am who am. I bet those words meant the world to them. They inspired peace and reassurance. They were enough to launch the Israelites onto a journey that would define them forever. We hear several similar words from Jesus. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. This is the Lord telling us in his own way, I am, I've got you. Amen.
Pro-life reflection for today. This is from the book by Father Frank Pavone, July 19th. For here we have no lasting city, but we are seeking the one that is to come. From Hebrews 13, verse 14. Reflection. The church has always held that the state does not contain the fullness of human hope or embrace the totality of human existence. The state, rather, exists for the human person, not the other way around. That is why governments either have to protect human rights or have to be reformed. Human law is always subject to divine law. Only the latter can claim our absolute obedience. Our prayer. Lord, as we strive for our heavenly home, we thank you for our earthly home. May we work to improve it. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
The Catena Legionis. Who is she that comes forth as the morning rising, fair as the moon, bright as the sun, terrible as an army set in battle array?
My soul glorifies the Lord.
My spirit rejoices in God my Savior.
He looks on his servant in her lowliness. Henceforth, all ages will call me blessed.
The Almighty works marvels for me. Holy his name.
His mercy is from age to age on those who fear him.
He puts forth his arm in strength and scatters the proud-hearted.
He casts the mighty from their thrones and raises the lowly.
He fills the starving with good things, sends the rich away empty.
He protects Israel, his servant, remembering his mercy.
The mercy promised to our fathers, to Abraham and his sons forever.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Who is she that comes forth as the morning rising, fair as the moon, bright as the sun, terrible as an army set in battle array?
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to you.
Let us pray. O Lord Jesus Christ, our mediator with the Father, you have been pleased to appoint the Most Blessed Virgin, your mother, to be our mother also, and our mediatrix with you. Mercifully grant that whoever comes to you seeking your favors may rejoice to receive all of them through her.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We fly to your patronage, O Holy Mother of God. Despise not our prayers and our necessities, but ever deliver us from all dangers, O glorious and blessed Virgin. Mary Immaculate Mediatrix of all graces,
pray for us.
Saint Michael, Gabriel, and Saint Raphael,
pray for us.
All you heavenly powers, Mary's Legion of Angels,
pray for us.
Saint John the Baptist,
pray for us.
Saints Peter and Paul,
pray for us.
Confer, O Lord, on us, who serve beneath the standard of Mary, that fullness of faith in you and trust in her, to which it is given to conquer the world. Grant us a lively faith, animated by charity, which will enable us to perform all our actions from the motive of pure love of you, and ever to see you and serve you in our neighbor, a faith firm and immovable as a rock, through which we shall rest tranquil and steadfast amid the crosses, toils, and disappointments of life, a courageous faith which will inspire us to undertake and carry out without hesitation great things for your glory and for the salvation of souls, a faith which will be our legion's pillar of fire, to lead us forth united, to kindle everywhere the fires of divine love, to enlighten those who are in darkness and in the shadow of death, to inflame those who are lukewarm, to bring back life to those who are dead in sin, and which will guide our own feet in the way of peace, so that the battle of life over, our legion may reassemble without the loss of anyone in the kingdom of your love and glory. Amen. May the souls of our departed legionaries and the souls of all the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We thank you for listening. We welcome your comments. Send them via email to legionofmary.internetradio@gmail.com. I repeat, legionofmary.internetradio@gmail.com. We would like to acknowledge the following who made this broadcast possible. Father Dillingham, pastor of St. Mary of the Assumption Catholic Church, Hocassin, Delaware, United States of America. Tony McGinley of Oremus Communications, A.J. Loporto, who provided the music, and all the members of the Legion of Mary, Wilmington Curia. Thank you, and please listen again next Friday at 3 p.m. God bless you.